Westbrook Auburn Studios. It's Ray Richardson on WLOB 100.5 FM.
It is 8:32. You're listening to 100.5 FM. Good morning. I'm Ray Richardson. Thanks for joining us. The Dovester, Dove Sacks, Independence Law in the house.
Good morning.
Brad Dyer, Hometown Senior Solutions. And Dave Whitney, who got his mom to help him sell a dime bag.
Nickel bag.
You don't want to smoke that stuff, man. Like, no.
Just kidding. He was telling a great story. Dave Whitney is here. It's an inaugural appearance here at the station. And you're talking about how you got into the wreath business.
So happy to be here.
Yeah, glad to have you.
And finally
meet
you, Ray.
Absolutely, glad to have you.
So to continue the story, I had this this baggie full of spruce needles, and I go to...
Age what again?
Eight.
Beautiful,
and
beautiful.
I went up to the kitchen, and I said, Mom, take me to Flo's. I have some tips to sell. So we hopped in the 74 Valiant, and drive up to Flo's, and I walk through the door, and there's Flo, and she was a little scary right out of the gate, and I said, and I hold up the bag just as proud as I could be, and I said, Flo, I have some tips to sell, and she starts laughing at me, as a little kid,
squirt,
and she says, well, that's not exactly what I'm looking for, but let me show you. So she walks out into the tip room, and the smell, you've all smelled.
Oh yeah, we love it.
The best.
Love it.
Right.
Yeah.
And so we walk into the tip room, and it's just filled with tips. And then I hear this next door, this knocking noise, and I said, what's that? And she said, well, that's the wreath room. And I said, well, show me. So she opens the door, and I like to say she opened the door to my world. And here are all of these, and it was mostly women making the wreaths and men serving them.
It's funny when men reflect back on a woman that opened their eyes to the world or whatever.
Yeah.
You just said that it's not usually about balsam tips.
There you go. Well, that was the first opening of my world.
There you go.
I loved it. I loved the smell. I loved the activity. I loved the moving of materials and everything about it. So once she taught me what she wanted, I started tipping. I would tip, and Dad would drive me to sell my wares. I tipped all through high school. And then pretty soon I decided, well, why am I selling myself short
going
here?
To the business.
Why don't I... teach myself how to make a wreath and sell it. Mm-hmm. So I would tip during the day after school, and my buddy Steve and I would make wreaths. He had a little shed, and we'd make wreaths. And then my dad was, aside from being a blueberry farmer and a car salesman, he was also a musician from age 12. And he played in bands all over the state of Maine and beyond, and he was in Bangor. He was in Bangor every weekend. And we would take the wreaths in my Jeep pickup, and we would set up across from the Bangor Mall and sell wreaths out of the back of my pickup, and stay with my dad in the Super 8 Motel. And he would, he'd play at night. Well, we met some girls, and we spent every penny that we made selling these wreaths on these girls. So I don't know what business.
That is the American dream.
That's the American dream right there. And then went to school. And decided, my goodness, why am I not selling these direct to the consumer outside of the state of Maine? And so when I was at the University of Maine in 1988, I started Whitney Wreath out of my college apartment, and started advertising in the New York Times and the Atlantic Monthly, and lost my shirt first year, and didn't return, but sent out 247 wreaths, and that was the beginning. So 1988 to now.
And how many wreaths now on a good year?
I never talk about numbers.
Oh, cool.
But we ship a lot.
Yeah. I can say it's interesting. I didn't know Brad was going to be here, but for Independence Law's holiday gift, we send out Whitney wreaths to our favorite folks.
Is that what
why didn't
came
I
from?
Get one?
You did.
No, I didn't.
Oh, absolutely.
No.
Oh, I did.
Don't play that.
No, I did. It's hanging on my
there
front door
go.
Still.
It didn't have a label on
it's
it, though.
It's
still didn't say
there,
who it was
from. And it still looks
yours
good.
Yours didn't have the label in the
last
note?
Last year it did, but there was no note this time.
Well, that must have been the mail delivery, because I've seen others delivered, including
actually,
mine, and it had it perfectly.
It's still on my porch.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, mine's still hanging on the door, but last year and this year, there was no note or an acknowledgement that it was from you. We didn't know until you told me.
Well, that's the wreath is amazing.
No, I agree.
It's really well done.
But I'm just saying, we didn't know it was from you. A lot of people do send very nice things here to the station at Christmas, which I'm grateful for, but we didn't know it was from you. But I will say, today is the 29th of or 30th of January. My wreath is hanging on my front door still, and it's vibrant and beautiful and green. It's not brown.
So, beautiful.
I was supposed to call you and tell you thank you, so thank you. I realize now I have failed.
Oh, please.
And the wreath is beautiful.
You're Dave. Just now realizing you failed?
No. We got a thing going back and forth about communication, and I guess I'm just as bad at it. Thanks for the wreath, Dove.
Most welcome.
But that's a great entrepreneurial story. That's the story of so many people in this country. Something, you know, flips a light on with them, and then they figure out I can do it. I know you don't do numbers, but I am curious. Of the 247 you sold the first year, or was it 287? I can't remember.
247.
How many repeated the next year?
Most.
Yeah, so there you go.
So over the years, we have a lot of very long-time customers.
But you said you got your butt kicked that first year. But if most repeated, there's your foundation for your business.
Absolutely.
So. You probably went broke on the advertising. And you're like, you're advertising the New York Times.
Well, back when he was advertising in the New York Times and the Atlantic
papers
Monthly,
are expensive.
Both were worth advertising in.
Oh, no.
I probably wouldn't do that today.
I have no doubt. But
no.
And you send all over the country? Or
Yeah. So our main business is making wreaths, but it's much more. There are a lot of wreath companies around the state of Maine and beyond. But where we excel is handling all of the details. We serve a lot of larger customers that are known that they sell them. And so in a roundabout way, I'll answer your question, hundreds of thousands of units.
Oh, wow.
So on a big day, we will ship out 4 or 5 UPS trailer loads of individually packaged product destined for any individual customer across the state, across the country.
I think you're being modest.
Trailer load probably holds 5,000 reads. Yeah, we can do the math on
think
that.
I think you're being modest, though,
I just was asking this to make sure.
Pretty awesome.
I've been to the operation. It's an amazing operation.
And the thing is about the wreath business is we go from zero to hero in such a short period of time.
Yeah, it's a short window.
And, you know, 6 weeks, we're just busting it out. And then we have my main facility. We're operating out of 3 different facilities, 2 in Maine and 1 in Nova Scotia, company I own there. And then it just shutters. And so we've always struggled with, since the early 90s, I skipped a piece. I did graduate and leave my business, went to Boston, grass is greener on the other side of the fence, came home. And we always have struggled with, what do you do with facilities, management, and labor outside of those 6 weeks? And so over the years, as we have grown, and we now have a 75,000 square foot facility, 23 loading docks, heated, radiant heated floor, 2 levels.
You must rent it out.
No, we own it.
No, I mean, you shutter a facility for that long.
Well, I would
it
think you would
way
create those
money.
Pillows and things like that and diversify and come up with scents that you can sell. I mean, one of the most beautiful, L.O. Bean has a deal, maybe it's yours. They have these little log cabins. They're about so big.
You probably would never admit it.
And you put, they have balsam scent and you light it. And so your little cabin has smoke coming out of the chimney, and it's the most aromatic smell.
That company is called Payne Products.
Oh, yeah, 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 up in Auburn. Yes.
In Auburn. And they're friends of ours, and we help, we supply them with some tips, especially at the end of the season.
So there
do
we
you
go.
Pick the, do you pick and them off the fir tree yourself?
Yeah, I hand them
one needle at a time. Is a little
put
baggy,
them in nickel
right?
Bags.
That's right.
Yeah.
And however, what we're really good at is assembling and repackaging, and we're good at the details of handling multiple SKUs, many multiples of SKUs. Mm-hmm. And making sure that every single product goes to the right customer. Because you can make the most beautiful centerpiece, the freshest, most beautiful centerpiece, and ship it to the customer. And if they receive the most beautiful, fresh Christmas wreath, they're just as upset as if you sent them something that was very poor quality. It's the details that matter.
Right.
So what we've been working on since 2010 is to farm out our real skill set and become a 12-month out of the year company. Mm-hmm. And so we pick, pack, and ship, and we kit and we assemble for various companies around the state of Maine and beyond. And we're really trying to bolster that business.
It's such a good context for what I'm going to ask now, which is, with all these relationships across the business community in Maine, what have you seen over the last few years with Bidenomics, and now what are you feeling as things are transitioning into this new era?
What I've seen is every company that I know is pinched for margin and pinched for volume, but for some exceptions. Yeah, you know, building the building business, development and building is still, you know, cranking, and but lots and lots of companies are struggling with volume. I tried to develop a plan to market Maine microbrewery or Maine crafted beer, and create a beer of the month club, if you will, to market out of the state of Maine. And actually tried to do legislation that would allow me to do it as a non-beer producer. And it couldn't happen. But you think of this. There's 150, 155, 160 microbreweries across the state of Maine.
Yep.
And
growing.
And growing, but shrinking.
Mm-hmm.
Their volume is
a really captive market, right? They're not,
some of the bigger ones are still growing.
More players, but volume's not going up.
Correct. Yep. And I thought this was a great way to get to the consumer outside of the state of Maine, but it couldn't happen. We got blown out. So it's that type of thing that we're trying to utilize our skill set and our management and our labor to help companies. I have one customer that was on a growth curve and couldn't keep up and was producing his product cottage style out of people's homes. Mm. And he couldn't manage the QA quite like you can in factory. We got connected through a friend in the marketing world, and I said to my customer, you know, if you have us do everything, soup to nuts, your whole process, you will be the smartest entrepreneur in the state of Maine. And he said, why is that? And I said, because I'm all in and you don't have to
right.
be. You can walk away from this.
It's all
anytime.
Under one roof, too, right. And that's a big deal.
Right.
You can walk away from this, and he doesn't have to make the capital investment.
Our buddy Bob Witkowski, who's listening down in New Orleans, says you need to make a Mardi Gras wreath. Mardi Gras areas, Louisiana, Mississippi, East Texas, Missouri, and Washington, D.C., deliver them by January 6th through Fat Tuesday. New market for you.
I love it.
He knows the area.
He does.
He does.
That's a lot of wreaths.
See, when you come on the Ray Richardson Show, great. Good things happen. It's just
value.
The way it is.
Yeah.
And it's just the way it is.
Distribution's
a
big deal.
It's a great story. And you know what I love about it? It's the story of every entrepreneur. Something clicks inside of them. A light bulb goes off in your head. And then all of a sudden you say, I can do this until someone tells you you can't.
But then there's the new chapter, which is, very successful entrepreneur, this kind of operation, but now seeing society is just not setting up well for his kids and hopefully grandkids, and now stepping into being the national committeeman for the Republican Party and running a campaign, and you know, that's, I think, the story here, in terms, so how do you, you know, as you're doing that, why did you decide to get into the political arena? Like, well, I know you were always involved, you told us, but like more formally.
Sure. So several years ago, I became dissatisfied with, you know, Washington County's pretty conservative area. And we consistently would send down a couple of Democrats to Augusta.
Hmm.
And I said, well, there's this Washington County Republican Committee. What are they, you know, what are they doing? And so I stepped into it a little bit and started the Marshfield Town Committee, my own hometown. We call ourselves the suburbs of Machias. 600 people.
Yes.
And so I, you know, put my name on a piece of paper. I'm the chairman of Marshfield. And from that, I did exactly what everyone expected me to do, which was absolutely nothing. I didn't get any follow-up from Maine GOP. I didn't get any follow-up from Washington County Republican Committee. Mm-hmm. Nobody gave me a handbook of what am I supposed to do. So I went to a Washington County Republican Committee meeting, and I said, "What's happening? Why are we sending Democrats to Augusta?" And so I went to a meeting, and it was full of pomp and circumstance and bagpipes and the whole bit. Very celebratory. And
literally, right?
Yeah, literally.
Yeah, the bagpipes are right.
And it went on for like 2 hours and 45 minutes, and I felt like a coyote. I wanted to chew my arm off to get out of there. I didn't want to be rude and walk out, but I didn't have that kind of time. So I said, you know what? I think I'm going to run. And I ran for chair, and I won by a margin of...
What year? What year is this?
2022.
Yeah. Became chair of Washington County Republicans.
Yeah.
Sorry, and the margin you were saying?
44-4.
That's good. It's a pretty
good
number.
That's a good margin.
They wanted some change.
What made you want to be the national committee man?
Well, I'm getting there.
He's getting there.
A lot of responsibility.
So
well, we only have 4 hours. We got to get going.
This is great.
So
this is Maine, man.
So as chair, the way the whole Republican apparatus works is the town committee is first,
right.
County committee. And in order to get a vote on the county committee, you have to be in the town committee as chair or a delegate. And so as chair of Washington County, it gave me one of three votes from Washington County on Maine GOP. And so one of my first meetings was the vote for the new chair, which ended up being Joel Stetkus. And Heidi Sampson, who I had known for a while and very much appreciate, I did not vote for her because Joel had come to Washington County. And was boots on the ground helping us. So I said, I'm going to support Joel. So I went to this, and I watched the way the election went, and Heidi wasn't allowed to run because she was a representative. And I said, wait a minute. Politicians constantly are going from a perch to a perch.
Right.
Like you run for something, and then you win, and then you quit your old position. It doesn't make sense to go from the perch to the ground to the perch.
Mm-hmm.
And so I said to Joel, after he got elected, I said, Joel, I want on the rules committee. I want to change it. And so I got on the rules committee. And really not the type of committee that I wanted to be on. I had a bee in my bonnet. There was something I wanted to change. I didn't like the rules committee. It was too many I's to dot and T's to cross.
Yeah.
But along the way, I realized that an officer of Maine GOP cannot be a paid lobbyist. And I said, well, wait just a second. We've got national committee man and woman are both paid lobbyists. What gives? And I said, let a paid lobbyist run for any position or no position. One or the other. Let's be consistent.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
So the next thing I know, I get a call from Josh Tardy. And he says, national committee man. I said, you dissatisfied with my performance? And I said, I don't know anything about your I don't even know what you do. But, you know, I just thought that this was a conflict.
You didn't know Josh?
I knew him very well. Yeah. I knew him for 30 years. But I didn't know what national committee man meant.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I didn't know the position. And so, anyway, long story short, I got a call in late March of last year, and he said, David, by the way, I am not going to run for national committee man. I think you should run. and you got 2 weeks to get your ad in the paper to get to and run this campaign before you get to the election. So I said, hold, let me talk to my wife. So
smart man.
My equivalent of, is it Didi?
Yes, Didi. Yeah.
My equivalent of Didi, who is on my shoulder telling me what not to say or rewriting my email like you.
Yes.
I said to Holly, I said, you know, I'm going to do that. This is a bigger responsibility. Should I do this? And she kind of rolled her eyes and she said, well, I've never told you no. I mean, if you want to do it, do it. So I went all in. Long story short is it was a very short campaign, but the folks from Washington County, what we did,
there you go,
was we endeavored and we successfully increased the town committees from 27 inactive town committees to 37 mostly active committees out of a total of 43 in the whole wow. Washington County. It's a big county.
Wait, can you break that down again from what it was to what it is?
27 inactive yep. town committees, like Marshfield.
So out of 43, 27 of 43 were inactive.
And brought it up to 37, and now we have a committee.
37 active now.
Active, mostly active.
So it went from 16 active to now 37 active.
Yeah.
That's great.
And so Washington County, the committee itself, they rallied around me and they really wanted me to win. And I said, listen, if we're going to be successful, you've got to do the work. Like, I'll do the work.
Right.
Don't sit back and expect for me to do all the work.
And well, that late in the ball game, you couldn't do all the work anyhow.
Absolutely.
Not to do what you talked about
right.
doing.
So I got a group together to cold call everybody with yeah. the message of my quick pitch and said, listen, if Brad, if you want to talk to the candidate, I'll have him call you. Let me know. And so I would call those that were already warmed up.
Right.
And then now that, you know, but what are you seeing with the active town committees? Like, what's changing in the political culture and
well,
in terms of Republican energy? And because if it sounds like it could be a model for other counties that's you just started from really the starting, you know, your own town committee.
The town committee, the town knows their neighbors. Right. You have to look for the low propensity voters. And obviously, if you're going to be astute, you do data marketing and you do it efficiently. But still, the town committee knows the neighbors and they can look at the list of the low propensity voter and say, Brad, I know you're a Republican, but why the hell don't you vote? Can I bring an early absentee voter ballot to your house, please? Need you to vote. It's the town committee that does that.
And how did getting those town committees activated translate in the recent election? Did that pan out?
Well, it was part of my pitch. And I said, this is what we're doing in Washington County. This is what we need to do statewide. And Michael Whatley, who is the chair of the RNC, had the same vision when he was in South Carolina. And so that was my pitch on stage to the delegates of Maine GOP, and it resonated.
But yeah. You had already been chair of the Republicans in Washington County going into this last election.
Yes.
And then you guys, weren't the results quite good in terms of...
For my election?
No, just how the county went in terms of other offices.
We now have 100% Republicans in Washington County.
That's the lead story.
That are in Augusta.
I didn't bury it. It was buried. We had to dig it.
Well, there's another piece of this.
There we go.
Because we you're getting itchy, Ray. What
well,
we
I'm
got?
Watching the time.
Okay.
Keep going.
So, we need to penetrate. Not supposed to use that word in politics.
Please don't. That's
like, I think penetrate is the right word.
No, it's not.
But what's the right word? What do I use?
No, it is the right
penetrate
word.
Saturate.
That's what they do.
We need to saturate.
They penetrate.
No
the
comment.
Democrats penetrate politics.
I've been told that
slips penetrate
out.
And saturate.
Yeah. Saturate. We need to.
Holly's screaming at the radio. Yo, no. It's going off the rails.
We need to get a higher percentage. So we were talking off the air. Joe Martin,
yes.
Good friend of mine.
Yeah.
I made a bet. I made a bet during the convention and my platform speech that Washington County will get a higher percentage of Republicans voting in 2024, November 5, than any other county in the state of Maine. And if we lose, I will have my head shaved by a Christian barber in my town, Wayne Wood, on live broadcast for Maine GOP to send to whoever to make a spectacle of it.
Okay.
And further, there's more. Joe Martin, my good friend who is now Senator Martin.
That dude's got some hair.
He's got some hair, but he also has some scars.
Oh, yeah.
And it's ugly. And I challenged Joe. I said, Joe, you're in on this. If we beat you, your hair is coming off.
Wait, somebody, I saw him Saturday. He still has hair.
Somebody's hair is coming. So do I. Somebody's hair is coming off. And if some county beats both of us, but we beat Oxford, two heads of hair are coming off. And that is going to take place, according to Jason Savage, sometime in March. They'll have the actual data. But the data is the percentage of Republicans that actually vote. That's what we need to do
right. Statewide,
county by county, town by town, and countrywide. This is how we keep the momentum that just happened with DJT. Absolutely.
I got you both beat because David Jones and I raised $5,000 for the Barbara Bush Hospital to shave the head of Ethan Stremling. Bam, we did it.
Did you say Barbara Bush?
Barbara Bush Hospital.
Barbara Bush?
That's what it's called, Barbara Bush Hospital.
Barbara.
No, I said Barbara Bush.
I like it, Barbara Bush.
Lord
that
have
fell
mercy.
Flat. Like, wow.
I know. I thought you were saying.
No, I was trying.
I thought you were saying an Oxford County version of Barbara.
You guys were both down at the inauguration, I think, right?
Were you at the inauguration?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Of course. Cool. We had RNC had winter meeting.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, because Jim Dearmon, who was just elected, was down there.
Correct.
Yeah, it's cool. Yeah. Yeah, we had a great time in D.C. We are rapidly running out of time here. In fact, we've got to go. But we'll be back with more. It's 8:59. IBEW Local 567 and NECA Boston are looking for the best electricians as well as electrical contractors. If you're an electrician or an electrical contractor, we are very excited to speak with you. If you're a licensed electrician, we can offer you state-of-the-art training, the most generous benefits package, and a well-deserved sign-on bonus. As an electrical contractor, we offer you highly skilled electricians, a personalized support system for your business, and many additional opportunities such as training. If interested and to learn more information about becoming a part of IBEW Local 567, please call our membership development line at 207-786-9770. That's 207-786-9770, extension 1.